Last January, if you remember, as pastor of this congregation, I designated this year, 2014, to be the year of gratitude. My goal is very simple, to help all of us, you and me, to cultivate the habit of giving thanks to God, not only in good circumstances, but also in bad circumstances. Mind you that we are not just doing this for the sake of doing it, but rather for our spiritual and emotional and even physical benefits. Now here's a recap of what I said last January. I said gratefulness is used only under good circumstances. However, thankfulness covers a greater territory. It covers both good and bad circumstances. For instance, I said, I'm grateful when someone does something nice for me. I cannot be grateful, however, if the same person hurts me. Neither can I be grateful when bad things happen to me. However, in the very same circumstances, we the believers are called to be thankful. Not because we are glad that such bad things happen to us, but because we trust in God and put everything in God's hands. Be thankful in all circumstances. It is God's will for us. That's what I said. Now, realistically and statistically, only 1 out of 10 people in the world remember to say thank you when something good happens to them. If you're a grandparent and remember, you have number of grandchildren, to them you give Christmas gifts, and how many of them said thank you?
Today, not many.
Far less people would be thankful to the Lord in all circumstances. That's not much different even in the Church of God, and we need to change that. I told you about my plan last January that I would do a reminder sermon every other month. 6 times a year, that's what it is. And today is the day that I do that sermon. Series number 2. Series number 1 covered giving thanks because it is God's command. 2, it is better than the other option. And 3, it is good for your health. And today I'm going to talk about worship and thankfulness. You want to be thankful in all circumstances? Then I would say, and the Bible says, stay in the worship and in the spirit of worship all the time. Because worship helps us to cultivate the habit of giving thanks regardless of our circumstances. You may wonder, how can worship help me to be thankful to God in all circumstances? Now please note here that the worship I'm talking about is not limited to Sunday worship services only. Worship can take place anytime and anywhere, and we can worship God, for example, when we drive, we can worship Him when we cook, and we can even worship Him in the shower. Now this is what I mean by worship. Staying in constant spirit of worship of the Lord wherever you are and whenever you can. That's what I mean by worship. So what does worship have anything to do with being thankful to God, you may ask? And this is how it works. Worship shifts our attention from us to God. Let me repeat. Worship shifts our attention from us, ourselves, to God. When properly done, worship helps us to fix our eyes on God, not on our problems. What do we do in worship? You can think of, and you can join me, we adore and praise God's holy name first, and in worship we see God, who is far greater than our own problems, and we ask for God's help, and we are assured and reassured of God's faithfulness, and we hold on to God's truth, the word, not our feelings. Let me put it a different way. Instead of focusing on the bad things, we focus on God, His greatness, His faithfulness, and His goodness. And worship helps us to look up to God and trust in Him who makes all things beautiful for those who love Him. Worship helps us to trust in God's ultimate goodwill for us. You see, you and I can be thankful to God only when we trust in Him who turns all these bad things into for our good in His time. Now, all these things that I mentioned always happen in worship. In fact, those are the very things that we need in bad times too, such as trusting God's ultimate goodwill and relying on God's faithfulness and wisdom. And those are the very essential ingredients of worship, and they are only cultivated through worship. And that's why constant worship equips us with thankfulness to God. You know, worship is not just, okay, I go to the church and put, you know, a couple of hours there and offering and that's all, I go back. Nothing happens? That's what most of us think. Not really. And it's whether you realize or not, you're cultivating these key elements and ingredients, you know, for bad times as well. Without God, no one can be thankful. Show me one who is always thankful, whether it's good or bad circumstances, and I'll show you he or she is a regular worshiper and faithful worshiper. Without worship, we cannot learn to be thankful. Show me someone who is always thankful, and I'll show you he or she always attends the weekly services. Without God, we cannot. However, with God, we can be thankful all the time in all circumstances. Now, I want you to take a look at today's reading, which we read, where God commands us to enter God's gates in verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. What do you think it is? Enter God's gates with thanksgiving, meaning that you are entering God's temple to worship. And God says, enter God's gates and His house with thanksgiving and bless His name. And one of the things that I hope every one of us would do from now on, as soon as you enter the sanctuary every Sunday morning, you say, Lord, I bless Your name. Blessed be the name of God. You can say it. Remember one thing that I spoke about a couple of 3 weeks ago, that when you drop your offering in the plate, just don't do it. Rather, Lord, I honor You with this offering. The same thing. As soon as you enter this sanctuary, Lord, Your name be blessed. You can bless God's name. Now, let's go back to our life's hardships. We all go through life hardships. And there are times that when we feel so lousy that we say to God, there's nothing, Lord, I can be thankful for. Or we say that everything is all right, Lord, but except this one thing that kills me, and it kills my spirit of gratitude. We all have one thing or two in our lives. Therefore, Lord, I really cannot be thankful. And many a time we feel that way. But in those moments, I want you to remember verse 5, where God gives us three reasons to be thankful. That's where I'm getting at. There are three reasons despite our circumstances. Number one, we can be thankful because the Lord is good. If you look at verse 5, for the Lord, Jehovah God, is good. Now, if you cannot find any reason in your life to be thankful for to God, use this one. Over and over again, as often as you can, especially in the midst of darkness and gloom, you can declare yourself that God is good. The Lord is good. Make a habit of saying that the Lord is good all the time, in both and good and bad times. And let's think about the meaning of, what's that mean? The Lord is good. Does it mean the same as when I say, Chelsea is good at math? Or my mom always has been good to me. And one thing you and I agree on this is this. The divine goodness is far more superior to its human counterpart. Although it is true that we humans carry in us a trace of divine goodness that God has endowed in our nature from our birth, yet we cannot even compare the divine goodness to ours, right? In fact, the Bible declares that God is the only one that is good, when all other human goodness appears like filthy rags. Here, when the Bible says the Lord is good, it means that He is incorruptible. That is, when our human goodness is conditional and changing and even corruptible, His is not. His goodness does not change according to circumstances either. When the Lord has a good time, He's good. When He's having a bad day, He's bad. No, He doesn't do that. Ours do, though. In our bad circumstances, this is what we need to do. When we declare that God is good, this is what we do to ourselves. We declare that God is the ultimate judge of what is good. Therefore, I will not judge. In other words, by doing so, we put our judgment call in God's hands, not in ours, whether something just happened to us is good or bad. Now, let me give you an example. How many times you and I realize that, oh, what used to be considered, what was considered bad, turned out to be good? How many of you experienced that? Oh, yes. How many of you experienced that, oh, this is so good, but then later turned out to be so bad? Yes. You know, I'm sure at least just once we all heard about someone missed a train, for example, and later it turned out to be, well, the train derailed. Something bad happened. The scripture says God is good all the time. I'm sure you heard that expression before. So let's say it together in one voice. I will say, God is good, and you will say, all the time. And I'll say, all the time. I always thought that, just what an interesting reading. You know, God is good all the time, and I always got the impression that He's good to me whenever everything's well. But the Lord says in the scripture, no, the Lord, regardless of circumstances where you are, He is good. That's why we can be thankful. The next reason we can still be thankful, even when we are in a dump, is that God's loving kindness is everlasting. He is loving, He is kind, and He is merciful. He'll be that way forever. I looked up the original Hebrew of the loving kindness hesed here. It carries the meaning that God is kind to the needs of His people and His creatures forever. He is kind to the needs of His people. And therefore, I can safely say that God knows your needs and mine, and He will provide them according to His riches. And He is aware of what you are up against, and He will provide a way out. And notice here that the word, furthermore, His loving kindness is everlasting or endures forever. His mercy, His love, and His kindness never run out. They last forever and ever. It is very comforting for us to know that. It gives us second reason why we should be thankful in the midst of darkness, because His loving kindness never runs out. Let's not wait to give thanks to God until things turn around. That's our typical response. When things turn around, we say, Lord, thank you. But let's rather take a proactive approach, saying, Lord, I'm in a dump, you know that, but I'm thankful for your loving kindness. I know you will do something about my situation soon. Amen. Now finally, the third reason, the reason why we are thankful, because God's faithfulness continues from generation to generation. Let's think about what does it mean, God's faithfulness, or God is faithful. It means that God keeps His promises for us even when we find ourselves unfaithful to Him. It means that His affection and allegiance with us are steadfast. He is reliable and is trusted. He adheres to the truth even when we don't want to hear. Remember Matthew chapter 1:6, it's the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Someone always, you know, tried to read the entire Bible beginning with Matthew chapter 1, just give up after chapter 1, because it says someone became a father of someone and someone became a father. There are about 40 different names there. In which, in verse 6, This is what it says. David, King David, was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. Maybe you have not caught that. David became the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. If you're David, would you like that? No. Lord, it's past. I confessed and I repented everything. But still the Bible calls, hey, still you became the father of Solomon by someone else's wife. I mean, David was about 1,000 years before this one was recorded. And guess what? God says, I'm going to call a spade a spade. In other words, how comforting to know that God is never swayed by mood swings or circumstances. And how assuring to know that God's truth stays the same forever and ever. That's why, if someone asks, how can you trust in God? Because I said, because He never changes. Let me say it again. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, and His faithfulness, as the Bible says, endures forever. Furthermore, His faithfulness, the scripture says, what? Continues from generation to generation. Have you ever thought about what it means to you? It means that if God has been faithful to me, He's going to be faithful to my sons and daughters, and He's going to be faithful to their children and their next children forever and ever. He will stay true to you and your descendants forever and ever. And so how can we not be thankful to Him for all these wonderful things that He provides? So when you and I remember to give thanks for God's goodness and loving kindness and faithfulness and practice these things in the spirit of worship all the time, and then we can be thankful even in adversity. We tend to count how many things, good things going on, that's why I'm thankful. No. God says, even though you cannot count even one thing, you can still be thankful for the three things, the Bible says. One last thing. About 3 years ago, I had a very heated argument before I came to Manahawkin, of course, and with a very close friend of mine. And something, discussion on a certain topic went so wrong that day that he stormed, walked out of my living room without even saying goodbye. And since then, for the next 6 months, he never contacted me, either by email or phone. He must have been pretty mad at me. Hey, so was I. So during that time, I felt a dark cloud hovering over me and blocking all sunlight from above. Now, almost at the same time, God led me to that's why I think the Bible is crucial. He led me to 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be thankful in all circumstances, for it is God's will. So this is what I do. When I know this is something God wants me to do, my style is that, Lord, that's what you want, and I'll do it. And I even force myself to do it. So I force myself every single day to thank Him, not only for good things, but also bad things, including this one. Lord, I'm so thankful that this happened. That's what I said. It wasn't easy, as you could imagine. But I did it anyway for the next 6 months, 180 days, because I didn't want to go against God's will. About 6 months into doing this, and I began to see a little breakthrough and a change. Mind you, not in circumstances, but in me. I stopped complaining and I began to trust in the Lord and His goodness. And eventually, what happened to me was He gave me the courage to contact Him back, initiating the reconciliation. Surprisingly, my friend accepted my peace offer, if you will, and in fact, he admitted that he was so ashamed of his behavior that day that he could not contact me first. And since then, we became good friends again. Praise God. And through this one, I learned a lesson. That is that not to focus on the problems, but rather focus on God, who is greater than the problems. And verse 5 clearly reminds us one more time, despite your reality, hold fast onto the word of God and use it as your spiritual weapon against your enemy. Now, most of us, you know, God gives us, okay, this is the Bible, and I want you to use it as an offensive weapon. You know, did you know that in our spiritual warfare, God only allows us one to have as an offensive weapon. The rest of them is a defensive, you know, for the defense. But only one offensive weapon, that is the Word of God. The Bible calls it the sword. The tragedy of today's Christianity is that many of us, majority of Christians, don't even know that there exists the Word of God. Okay? So, those moments, hold on to God's truth and use it as your spiritual weapon against your enemy. So in the midst of feeling lousy, declare to yourself, I thank God, not because where I am, but because He is good. I thank God, not because how I feel, but because His mercy and love endures forever. And I thank God, not because I am happy, but because His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us keep doing this in the spirit of worship, and you and I will see God's power lift us out of tough situations, no matter what they may be. Let's bow our heads and pray.